So the rest of yesterday, we were discussing a little bit more in a theoretical sense what the status of Malachas Chalamayim is all about. So we had a whole group of different opinions in Rishonim as to whether Malachas Chalamayim is fundamentally only in the Rabbana, that was the view of Rabbi Tam, whether Malachas Chalamayim is fundamentally Deraisa, that was the view of the Rashbam, that we had somewhere in the middle. And even if it's Deraisa, well, it's not a regular Deraisa, it's a Masar Kosla Chachom type of Deraisa. And then we had the suggestion of Mishnah Yaakov, that in the context of the Mikdash of Deraisa, out of the context of the Mikdash, maybe it's on the Rabbanim. So we had across the spectrum different suggestions as to how to understand the basic tzura of the prohibitions of Malachas Chalamayim. The question is, any of you going to make a difference? Lamais, Halach Lamais, is any difference? So the standard, you know, halacha, the what you're allowed to do, not allowed to do Chalamayim, the Chorah shouldn't make that much of a difference. Everybody agrees that Davar Avad is Mutter, and everyone agrees to Chamoid under certain circumstances. There's Mutter in certain circumstances. Also, so is there any real difference from Maisa, whether we view this from the vantage point of Derais or the vantage point of a Derabban? There is a question that Achronim raised, which may or may not be related to this topic. That's the question of how do we view a situation of a Safek? So we know there's an age-old principle in terms of when you have Sveikas and Halacha, how do you pass in a Safek? The Mishnah is ready, the Gemara tells us in many places we have a rule called Sveika Deraisa L'Chumra, and the corollary rule is Sveika Derabbanan L'Kula. But if you have a Shalom and Deraisa, a piece of meat in front of me, I'm not sure, is it Chazer or is it not Chazer? So I'm not allowed to eat it, Sveika Deraisa L'Chumra. Whereas we have a piece of food in front of me that may be Bishalachma, maybe it was cooked by a non-Jew. It's definitely kosher, but it may have been cooked by a non-Jew, which the Mishnah says is also Midirabhanan. So something Bishalachma, something not Bishalachma, you're permitted to eat it. So that's the rule the Gemara tells us, that something Deraisa L'Chumra and something Derabbanan L'Kula. There is a Machlokes, I've shown him why something Deraisa is L'Chumra. The Rambam, a unique sheikh, the Rambam says that the whole principle of Sveika Deraisa L'Chumra itself is only a chumrah midrabbanan. It's midat Torah, really all sveikas are mutter. According to the Rambam, if you have a piece of meat in front of you and you're not sure that chazer is not chazer, so midat Torah, if you would ask Moshe Rabbeinu, he would say you're allowed to eat it. It's a chumrah midrabbanan not to rely on sveika deraisa, lakula midaraisa. And the Rashba and the Ram and many others shall disagree and say no. That the principle of sveika deraisa, the chumrah is actually built into the system itself. It's part of the chumrah itself, part of the Torah itself, that all sveikas know the chumrah, at least sveikas are deraisa. So whether you hold like the Rambam or the Rashba, the bottom line is, the rule is that sveika deraisa is in fact the chumrah. So anytime you have a sofek on a din deraisa, you would have to go the chumrah, and if you have a sofek on a din derabbanan, then you would have a right to go the chumrah. So come the Achronim and raise the following shalom. What's the din if you have a sofek in uchas chalamayim? What do you mean, what kind of a suffix do you have in Uchaz Chalamayim? So the first Mishnah in Maseches Ma'akotim tells us, Ma'ashkin Beis HaShlochem B'Moed. Mishnah says that if a person has a field that has to be irrigated, and if you're not going to irrigate the field, so then the crops may die, the crops are going to die, so then you're permitted to do it even in Chalamayim. Opening Mishnah in Maseches Ma'akotim. Why is that? So the Gemara explains the Dover of it, because it's going to cause you a loss of money. So Dover of it, Chazal permitted. The only thing is they put limitations on Dover Ovid, an important limitation that you're not allowed to plan out a Dover Ovid. Let's say I know I have a field that has to be irrigated, and if I don't irrigate it, the crops are going to die. I could do the irrigation Erev Yom, or I could wait till Chomoy. Erev Yom, I don't think you can do it. I'm not interested in doing it now because I know in the back of my mind. I learned the first Mishnah Merkotan that says that Mashkin makes a Shmach in my mind. That you're allowed to do Dover Ave types of activities on Chol HaMoed. That's a good thing to do on Chol HaMoed. Why should I waste my time now doing it? Now I can make more money doing other things. I'll wait for Chol HaMoed to do the Dover Ave. So the Gemara tells us that's what's called the Mechave Malachta B'Moed. Someone who actually planned to do the Dover Ave on Chol HaMoed itself. And then Chazal lifted the hetter. They took away the hetter from you of Dover Ave. And then they made a knas. They penalized you. The Mechave Malachta B'Moed is not permitted to do the actual malacha on Chol HaMoed itself. So one has to be careful before one invokes the head of the Ravid. You have to also make sure that you didn't set it up that way. It wasn't planned that way. Then you have other important limitations in terms of the Ravid. Let's say, Marshall, the Gemara tells us that there was a story where the river overflowed and there were a lot of fish all around town. They were swimming all around in the streets of the town. So people wanted to go fishing, and they wanted to go in and grab the fish.
The Gemara says you're allowed to go fishing for whatever fish that you need for Yom-tif. Anything you'll be able to eat on Yom-tif. Last days, that you're allowed to go fishing for. But if you want to just go fishing to preserve the fish, to salt or something, and to save them, to make a business, to run your herring business, and in a month from now, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to do. Because that would be a malocha liachamoy, the wouldn't be mitzvahamoy. So, Shem Abba the Kasha, if you don't go fishing now, so then you're going to lose out that possible. The fishing will get ruined, then you'll swim away. You're not going to have the ability to run your herring business. So, isn't that a dover of it? So, the Rishon said, no, it's not called a dover of it. That's what's called the Menias HaRevach. Menias HaRevach means we're preventing you from getting profit. Dover of it means I have a field, I own a field already. I own the crop, planted the crops already. The crops are planted, everything's in place. My field is now worth $10,000. If I don't irrigate the field, the crops are going to die, it's going to go down to worth $2,000. That's called a dover of it. Menias HaRevach means that I don't own anything now. I don't own the fish right now. I have nothing. Now, the Torah says, I want to go ahead and do something to get fish because I want to enhance my business. I want to be able to sell the fish in a month from now. That's called the Nias HaRevach. That's the Cholam of Dover Ovid. That's not involved in that. That's not included in the Heter of Dover Ovid. That's, we shouldn't point that. You have to always ask yourself that question. Whenever you do Malach and Cholam Ovid and you're hiding behind Dover Ovid, is it really a Dover Ovid or not? Dover Ovid has to be that it's there ready, it's something that you can put your hands on, and now we're afraid you're going to lose that. That's called Dover Ovid. The fact that you want to get something, that's not called Dover Ovid. That's what the Rishonim point out. Let's say the Rush discusses the Shaila. If a person has a business, what's his business? The business is lending money. He lends money to the non-Jews. The Rivis, so he's got a money-lending business. So the question is, am I allowed to be involved in these kind of transactions on Cholam Moed itself? The Rush says, if a customer comes to me and he says, I'd like to borrow $10,000 and give you back $12,000, whatever it is, so we're going to be setting up a business deal. So the Rush says, why is that called Dover Ovid? So the guy says, what do you mean? It's a terrible Dover Ovid. I'm not going to get that $2,000. So the Rush says, what kind of Dover Ovid is that? You don't have the $2,000 in the first place. So that's not called losing the field. That's called not getting fish. But then the Rush says, let's say it's a type of a customer who I have a relationship with for the last 20 years. He always comes to me. Now all of a sudden he comes and asks for a loan. I'm going to say, sorry, I can't provide you the loan today. He's going to go find someone who doesn't keep calling right so well. And he's going to get a loan from the other person. Oh, now once he goes to the other person, we know how business is. Once you lose a customer one time, there's a good chance you can lose him the next time around also. So the Rush says, that's called a Dover Ovid. It's not a Dover Ovid on the $2,000 interest. That's a Menias HaRevach. But it's a loss of the customer. Since I have a relationship with this customer, now there's a good chance he's not going to come back to me. That's considered to be a Dover Ovid. So you have to always ask yourself, it's a very fine line, what's called Dover Ovid, what's called Menias HaRevach.
So it's interesting. So the whole concept of it is really for Poel, who's really getting hourly wages, 40 hours a week, and he's not going to get his weekly mail. But in business, you know, a person can look, well, last year I made a dollar. Now, if I don't put in this amount of time, I'm only going to make 80 cents this year. Oh, but it's not Dover Ovid, it's Revach. But the truth is, it depends how you look at it. So the customer base is one exception, but the person could say, well, you know, he has a goal that he makes every year X amount of dollars, or the person makes X amount of dollars a year. Why wouldn't that be a Dover Ovid?
But that's not, the fact that he has a goal to make a certain amount of money, that's
history. That's the difference between a poll that's 40 hours a week, a job.
No, who says the poll? Who says the poll is going to work? If the poll, that's what the post can point out. Let's say the guy has a job, and he says, comes to the boss and says, listen, I want to take off a Cholam Moed. So the question is, what is the boss's response? So the boss's response is, good, take off a Cholam Moed, that's fine. But you're not going to get paid. That's not called a Dover Ovid. That's not like yearly, those hours of work. That's not a Dover Ovid. If the boss says, okay, don't come to Cholam Moed, that's fine, and don't bother coming next week either because you're fired. So that's a Dover Ovid, because the person lost something that he had. He had a job, and now Cholam Moed is causing him to lose something. That's called a Dover Ovid. So you have the same kashrut when it comes to a worker as well. So again, so you have a lot of, you have to fine tune the heter of Dover Ovid, but the mice, there is such a heter. There is the first mishnah, the second mishnah, there's a concept out there called a Dover Ovid. So comes Magen Avraham and raises the question, what would the din be if you have a suffering Dover Ovid? Very realistic case. The guy comes and says, listen, it may be a loss, I can't tell, I don't know. I'm looking at the crops, they don't look so great. On the other hand, they may be able to make it through Cholam Moed without watering them. Do I have a right to do a suffering Dover Ovid or not?
Water max, sprinklers in your house.
it was nice because that the Ikra did a probably mutter even on Shabbos, except for certain technicalities. There's an Isra called of Mashmiya Kol. The person sets up a system from before Shabbos that draws attention to the malacha that's being done, even though I'm not doing it. So that's the problem. The question is, did all that sprinklers draw attention or not? So Ritzit Eliezer is quoted with Shmi Shabbos, who says that it's mutter, because it only draws attention visibly. It doesn't draw attention, or can't really hear the system. So maybe at least in Bayev HaKadosh, you can hear them. So the Ritzit Eliezer was makel. He can have the system set up even to go off on Shabbos and Yontif. And one could really question that tzach, both on the facts and on the halacha. And it's not, I don't know about what's going on as a show, but I can hear my system when it's on. I'm not sure that that's okay. And number two, Shecht wasn't so sure that just because it's visible, not audible, why that should make a difference. I tell people look at Chiyo that they should turn off the systems before Shabbos. Those who keep money, I can't say that.
I wasn't thinking Shabbos. Yeah. That's unbelievable. I'm going to go home and turn my on. But I was thinking Chol Moed because
what's going to happen if you don't go on for all Chol Moed? The grass is going to die. If the grass will die, there's nothing to stop it.
Yeah. You
know,
who knows?
Okay, it doesn't matter because al chalamoyed is always sort of mashmiya kol. Chalamoyed is just a dumalach. That chumra of not having a system and, set up before it.
And I don't know if Apple now, if Gardner is still coming, but
Gardner should not to come. So the Gardner shouldn't come. Chalamoyed. Okay. So getting back to the story. So the. You thought you were for coolers. If you keep on asking more questions, you can get more coolers.
We're so uneducated with Chalmai. We grew up with Chalmai. It's like, you know, a day off from school. You know, it's like.
That's what we're here for. That's what it is.
Exactly. Okay. Like, that's, you know, that
I grew up with Chalmai. I wasn't even there from school. My kids laugh at me because I say when I was in elementary school, they used to have school, Chalmai took us. So my kids all left me. Hey, you went to such a. So I said that happened in the Pesach of Rabbi Isha. You got some Rabbi Isha Shaila. If you have a day school where a lot of the kids aren't from, that's a lot of kids aren't from in the school. So you got some Rabbi Isha, the kids aren't from, so they're never going to see a Sukkah, they're never going to see a Vanessa, they're never going to get a house. So let them come to school. So what are they going to do in school anyway? They'll learn some Chumash in school. What would be so terrible to learn some Chumash? What are you afraid the kids are going to write? And the kids aren't taking it out all week anyway. So Rabbi Isha said, let them come to school. So that was the fact.
And
it's
all this
on Monday off. Tishbo. Is that right? Okay, yeah. That brings me much writing. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So the Bhagavad Gita made the shot. What's the thing? We have a suffix number of it. I can't tell 50-50 chance whether it's going to be a number of it or not. So one could argue that maybe it depends on our shiloh. If you hold that the Yisra of Malach HaKalamoyed is fundamentally on a Midr Rabbanon, so then we can be Megal. The suffix number of Lakula. I'm not sure. But I'm about to irrigate my field, and there's a 50-50 chance whether the crops will die if I don't do it. So chayyur, you hold that malach salamad is under the rabbanon, that should be mutter. It's a subject to rabbanon. So the rabbanon should be lakula. But if you hold that malach salamad is deraisa, so you need a real matir. It's got to be mutter b'teres vaday. If it's not mutter b'teres vaday, then the chayyur it should remain being also. That's what I would have said. That's what some achrayim say. So the Mishnah Berurah raises objection. He says maybe one can be makel on a suffix number of it according to everybody. Even if Malach Chalmoed is deraisa, we can be lenient about a suffix number of it. How do you pull off that stump? So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, why should Dover of it be mutter? Where did it come from that the Dover of it is mutter? What kind of heter is that? So maybe you hold like those who said that, well, the whole Malach Chalmoed is deraisa, but it's the Mesorah cost of the Chachamim. There are no real rules. Whatever the Chachamim want to say, so they could think, so they were out there, Mishum, Hafsid Mamun. Hattori, Chosav, Amanim Sheisov. God doesn't want the Jews to lose money, so they just don't give you that. It doesn't fit into any real category in halacha. But one could say different. One could say that the nature of the malacha, the nature of the heter of Dabra Aved, really makes a lot of sense. It's built into a system. It's not just Tom had to because of to prevent people's financial loss. It's based on the following theory. And the Ramban develops this idea that even Malachas Chalamoyed is the Araisa, even Aniach, like the biggest Machmirim, that Malachas Chalamoyed is actually a problem in the Torah, says the Ramban, obviously the nature of most of that Terim of Chalamoyed is that it's enhancing the Chalamoyed, it's enhancing the Yontif. Why is it that Tzorech HaMoed is mutter? The Mishnah says beferish that if you have something that's the Tzorech HaMoed, it's necessary for me to do this work on Chol HaMoed, and it's going to enhance the yantif. So the Mishnah say that if it's a professional type of work, then you shouldn't do it. But if it's only an amateur kind of a work, it's not a professional work anyway, so then it's mutter. Where did that come from? Tzorech HaMoed is...
The garden. What's
Tzorech HaMoed? But for those days, if it looks nice later, it's going to be a difference now. So let's tell the marshal. So let's say sewing, right? Let's say you have to fix something. And the mishnah says the Farish that if you have to fix something, so if to give it to a tailor, to give it to a professional, that's the problem. But to do it yourself, so you're not going to do such a good job, so then mikra, then the mishnah says that's okay. There are a lot of things that are called the mice head of Tzorech HaMoed. The mishnah says that you're not allowed to write in Chol HaMoed unless it's some real unbelievable the oven or something. You're not allowed to write. The mishnah says the Farish. So the Rambam writes that the man the Rambam would be allowed to write that if you're a cipher, if you're a calligrapher, if you're a fancy, in the days of the Mishnah, a lot of people didn't know how to write altogether. So when the Mishnah speaks about writing, it's talking about professional kinds of writing. A guy scribbles a couple of notes on a piece of paper, so the Rambam writes that's considered to be a mice head yot. That's a non-professional type of action, and if it's with Tzorech HaMoed, then it's mutter. So let's say you have to make a quick shopping list, what you're going to go shopping for. Or a person has to write some kind of other Tzorech HaMoed, so that's mutter. To write Shalom Tzorech HaMoed, that's the problem. The person wants to take notes. He's studying something on Chol HaMoed, studying for a test after Chol HaMoed. So you're allowed to study, the reading itself is okay, but you want to take notes of what you're reading. So why is that mutter? What's that exactly? It's not Tzorech HaYom. Unless you want to tie it like a dover of it, because I'm investing 10 hours into studying and I don't take notes, so that's going to be I'm going to end up losing those 10 hours because I'm going to have to study over again. So maybe you can catch that. Maybe you have to. That's usually a high school shayla. Most people here don't have that shayla. That's the big high school shayla. Can I study? Can I take notes on Chol HaMoed? But again, back to the story. So if you, the Ramban says that why is it that we have a basic heter of a Tzorech HaMoed? The answer is that even though Malach is also a Chol HaMoed, but if it's to enhance the yantar, then it's mutter. The whole idea of Malach Chol HaMoed is that the Torah wants that the yantar should be a day of simcha, should be a day of ruchlius. Anything that adds to the celebration of yantar, that's making yantar more enjoyable, is basically mutter. That's the whole thrust of the heter of Tzorech HaMoed. So based on that Ramban, the Ritva writes that why is Dabra Ovid mutter? Dabra Ovid is mutter because it's a psychological tzarech. What's the tzarech? I'm sitting in the Beis Medrash, I'm sitting and learning, and someone comes and tells you, by the way, your field, all your crops are dying. So the guy would be a big tzaddik, he'd say, good, my crops are dying, it's Chol HaMoed right now. Most people aren't going to say that. The guy's going to say, my crops are dying, he's going to sit there and he's not going to be able to learn anymore, not going to have to daven anymore, not going to howl anymore. He's going to shtel, he's going to ruin his whole yantif. So comes the Ritva and says, so every davar ovid is by definition a Tzorech HaMoed. Even though normally on Tzorech HaMoed there are limitations, only a Maisa Hedyot is mutter, not a Maisa Uman. But here they lifted those additional prohibitions. Minat Torah, the Rishonim write, Minat Torah, whatever Tzorech HaMoed is mutter. The whole list of Malach and Chol HaMoed is Shalom Tzorech. Whenever it enhances the Yomtiv, it enhances the celebration of Yomtiv, that's okay. So that's what the Ritva writes, but that's the very basis of the Heter of Dover Ovid. It's not Pshat that Chazal said, oh, Nebuch, there's going to be a loss of money, we don't want people to suffer, therefore we'll let you do this Malach. No, that's not the Pshat. The Pshat is that under these circumstances, the Torah never prohibited it. The whole list of Malach and Chol HaMoed is when it detracts from Yomtiv. Doing the Dover Ovid enhances Yomtiv because it makes the person feel more at ease. It's a psychological Tzorech HaMoed. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, once you say that Dover Ovid is based on the fact that it's a psychological Tzorech HaMoed, now one can argue even a Suffolk Dover Ovid becomes Mutter. Why? Imagine a guy sitting in the Sukkah, he's enjoying his Gevalik, he's sitting and learning in the Sukkah Chol HaMoed afternoon, and someone comes and says, by the way, your $10,000 harvest is at risk. I can't tell you for sure that it's going to get ruined, but there's a 50-50 chance that it's going to get ruined. So what's the guy's response going to be? So again, he's in. And the other side of the head will say, so what? Chol HaMoed. Most people aren't going to go like that. Most people will say, Gevalt. So the person will say, well, what do you mean? It's only 50-50. It's only a suffix. So the guy says, but I'm still going to be miserable. Suffix, general rule of psychology. A suffix tzara is a tzara. If a person is even only afraid that maybe something's going to happen, he's also going to be upset about it. So you can't say, well, it's only a 50% chance that's going to shtere yontif. No, it's a 100% chance it's going to shtere yontif. If it's a suffix davar aveid, that's a 100% chance that's going to ruin your yontif. So whatever is necessary to prevent the yontif from being ruined now becomes mutter. So a davar aveid, even if the issue of Lech Chamad is deraisa, but the fact that a davar aveid is mutter, that carries over to a suffix davar aveid as well. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. He says, but it's got to be realistic. Let's say it's a 1 in a million chances. The guy's called Mishagas. The guy decides that his crops didn't get ruined. So all the experts, the gardeners come and say, don't worry about it. The crops are fine. The 1 in a million chance, life has a lot of odds against you. So comes the Mishnah Berurah, says that's not called even a suffix davar aveid. But once it enters into the category of suffix, it doesn't even have to be 50-50. As long as there's a realistic fear of a davar aveid, a guy's afraid that he's going to lose his job. So very often people come to me, following Shabbat, you know, I just got a new job, and if I don't show up in Chol HaMoed, it's not going to be good. So first I asked him, the boss say he's going to fire me? No, he didn't say he's going to fire me. On the other hand, it's not going to look very good. I just got the job last week and I didn't show up for 4 days. So when the Yom HaDin comes in and you know, we have to figure out 3 months from now who's going, I'm going to be on the bottom of the list. Because I'm not showing that I'm not a good worker. So once you argue, that's already a suffix. It doesn't have to be a bother. It doesn't have to be that the boss says, if you don't come, I'm going to for sure fire you. Even if it's a realistic fear that it's going to affect his job at a later point, not vivados, but it's a realistic suffix davar aveid, maybe that's also mutter in terms of davar aveid. So this Mishnah Berurah is important to Kula. It stems from the nature of an understanding of davar aveid is all about. Even if Alech Chaman is deraisa, there may be room to be make not only on a real davar aveid, but even on a realistic suffix davar aveid as well.
I'm still not understanding the Isser then. You know, Shabbos is bar, Yom Tov is bar, that the Isser is the Yom has a Kedusha, and the Gabra has a Isser on any Malacha. Chol HaMoed doesn't have that definition.
That's what the Rishonim said. The Sar calls the Chacham, that the Chacham set up the categories. Basic, again, according to those who say that Malach Chol HaMoed is also in the Torah, the basic Isser exists in the Torah. It means if a person goes to work and watering his crops, and he's doing everything, you know, he's sewing his clothes, doing everything like a normal day, so that detracts from the Mikra Kodesh of Chol HaMoed. So that's considered to be an Isser Geraisa. But the fact that you're allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that, you're allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that, so that's a certain degree that the Chum set up the parameters for. But the basic issue may very well be Midiraisa.
So it sounds more that, unlike or in comparison to Shabbos and Yontif, that there's an Isur. Here it seems like there's a Chiyuv Kedusha, so like a Simcha.
So it's more of a
Chiyuv Simcha, that Chiyuv Simcha creates a Deraisa level.
Right. But right, something like that. Right? I don't know. I call it Simcha. We call it more Mikra Kodesh. That right. It could be that there's no law involved.
Right. It's more like a positive.
Right. It could be right. But it could be because everyone agrees if you do Malacha Chol HaMoed, you're not Chayav Malchus. It's not like a law. The Torah says explicitly, don't do such and such. Right. It's almost similar to the Ramban of Torah Reis, that even in addition to the Lametes Malachos of Shabbos and Yontif, there's a mitzvah called Tishbos. There's a general mitzvah that it should be a Shabbos tikka day. The Ramban paints a picture of a person who keeps Shabbos min HaTorah, but his business is open, he's doing everything in an abnormal fashion. So the Ramban says that's a bittul mitzvah of Tishbos. It's a deraisa, says the Ramban, but it's not a malacha. That's a similar type of idea to Chol HaMoed. It's also like a general biblical kodesh. Now we have to plug in the details, what those details should be. Is there any other practical nafkamina for us whether the Yisur Malacha Chol HaMoed is deraisa the Rabbanim? So some of the Rishonim say that there may be a very real practical nafkamina. That's in terms, not in terms of malacha, but in terms of hanochas tefillin. You know, the Gemara tells us that one doesn't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif because they're considered to be a days of an os. The Torah says, "Shat milos yadechat tefillin is an os." So the Tosha Rav explains that Yotze Shabbos is Yom Tov Mishem Atzvan os. Shabbos and Yotze themselves are an os, and therefore there's a pter from tefillin. The Gemara never says the idea that you need two eidim, you need two osos, like afi shnayim eidim yachum davar. The Rishonim said that like a drasha, it's like a agadata. The drasha of the Gemara is that Yotze Shabbos is Yom Tov Mishem Atzvan os. That you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yotze. We got to do another Shabbos that a major machlok is about whether you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not. So what's the Shabbos? So Tosfos in one place writes that maybe the Shabbos depends on this issue. If you hold that Malachas Chalamoid, it's only the Rabbanan. The whole thing is the Rabbanan. Minat Torah, it's business as usual. Minat Torah, you can do whatever you want. Minat Torah, you can plant seeds, you can harvest your crop. You can do whatever you want. Minat Torah, there's no Issa Malacha at all. So Taisha says, if there's no Issa Malacha, how would Chalamoid qualify as a Yom Os? Are you going to tell me there's an Issa Derabbanan? How is the Issa Derabbanan going to knock off a mitzvah of Tfilin Deraisa? So if you hold that the whole Malachas Chalamoid, Hakol Mikra Kol, is only prohibited in the Rabbanan, then Ora, it should lead us to the conclusion that one would be required to wear Tfilin Midaraisa. However, says Tosis, what if you hold that Malachas Chalamoid is also min HaTorah? Even though it's true, it's not the same as Shabbat, it's not the same as Yotah, it's not the same as Yom Kippur, that's true. It's a lower level, there are less things that are prohibited. But Sof Kol Sof, there is an Issa Malacha there. So if there's an Issa Malacha there, maybe that suffices to create a Shem Os. And that creates a Shem Os, and that will create a Petuah from Tfilin. So Tosis suggests that maybe that's the Shaila. If Yom Malachas Chalamoid is only min HaRabbanan, then Chalamoid is business as usual, and you would have to put on Tfilin. If you hold that Malachas Chalamoid is also Midaraisa, then it's not business as usual. There's a limited Issa Malacha Min HaTorah, and that's enough to be labeled as an Os. That's what Tosa suggests as one possibility.
Okay,
so it's not a Seydo Chalotah. So it's not that the act of putting on Tefillin is an Issa, it's that it's labeled as a day of Os. Once it's labeled as a day of Os, then there's a Ptur from Tefillin. That's the same as Shabbat and Yom Tov. So on Shabbos also, it's not a question of a Seydo Chalotah. Say, there's no Chiyot Tefillin today. Same way a woman's not chayav in tefillin, I'm not chayav in tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so I wouldn't be chayav in tefillin on Cholamoy, because itself it's considered to be an oath. The shame oath Shemo is a potter from tefillin. So then Taisus makes it about face. Taisus says no. It could be that even if the issur of Malacha Cholamoy is on the Rabbanon, you could still be potter from tefillin on Cholamoy. How can that be? So says Taisus, maybe we misunderstood. What creates the status of Os? Why is it that Shabbos and Yom Tov are days of Os? And why is the Yom Chol not a Yom Os? So it comes to us and says, who says that has anything to do with the Issa Malacha? Maybe it has to do with another dimension. Maybe it's not just Malacha that creates the status of Os. Maybe it's Mitzvah Hayom. Maybe if you have a time in the calendar where there are special mitzvahs that have to be performed, that's also considered to be an Os. So a Marshal Cholamoid. So says Tosfos, even though it's quite possible that Malachas Cholamoid is on a Midrabanan, but the mitzvah b'shiva b'sukkah cholamoid is deraisa. No one would have to argue that. The sukkah takes b'shiva z'yamim. Of course, there's a mitzvah deraisa, even the sukkah cholamoid. It's no different than any other day of sukkah. First, that is a special chiyuv. That's a whole different type of mitzvah. But there's absolutely no difference in that Torah between the mitzvah b'shiva b'sukkah tomorrow morning and the mitzvah b'shiva b'sukkah on Tuesday afternoon cholamoid. The sukkah takes b'shiva z'yamim. So says tells us, let's say l'moshel on Pesach. There are mitzvahs that apply throughout the week of Pesach. There's an issur of achilas chametz. There's an issur by Rabbi Matzei. There's no difference between the issur of achilas chametz at the Seder and the issur of achilas chametz on the third day of Cholamoid. You have karis about. So you see that there are mitzvahs. The Torah says shivas yom solam tevatechem. But you have to get rid of chametz. You don't have to own chametz for a whole week. So you see that there are special yom tevatechem mitzvahs that apply min haTorah even on Cholamoid. So Taisa says maybe it's those mitzvahs that are considered to be the Os. So even if Cholamoid falls short in terms of Malacha, maybe it still qualifies in terms of mitzvahs Hayom. So it could be, says Taisa, that you're potter from Tfilin Cholamoid for one of two reasons. Either you're potter because Malachas Cholamoid is Deraisa, even if Malachas Cholamoid is not a Midirabanan, maybe you're still potter because of the mitzvahs Hayom. And then Taisa quotes another opinion, says no, that neither one of those two suggestions is correct. That Malachas Chalamoid is on a Midrabanan. And in order to qualify as a Yom Os, it has to be an Issa Malacha, and it's got to be an Issa Malacha Deraisa. Mitzvahs Hayom don't create a Shem Os, and if you're Chayav Chalamoid, so it is back and forth and back and forth, whether you have to wear Tfilin Chalamoid or not. So that machlok is the Gedolei HaRishonim and the Gedolei HaPoskim, Adayim HaZeh, the different Mechagim Klai Yisrael, according to one opinion, tells us revolves around the Malachas Chalamoid Deraisa issue. According to the other day in Rishonim, it's irrelevant to the Malachas Chalamoid Deraisa issue. It's an independent question as to how precise it is defined in terms of Os. So for upon him, we started out with two possible nafkaminas. We had a shaila from yesterday, is Malachas Chalamoid Deraisa Derabanan? So we came up with two great nafkaminas. One was Safek Davar Oved, and the other was whether you wear Tefillin or Chalamoid. Then we came to the realization that neither one of those nafkaminas is necessarily correct. That Safek Davar Oved may be mutter anyway, and you may or may not wear Tefillin or Chalamoid for other reasons. So if They're both theoretical nafkaminas, but in terms of an absolute ironclad nafkamina, not necessarily, because both the issue of suffik davar avid and the issue of tzorach olamad, each one has other factors involved that may determine whether or not the answer to those questions. But at least part of the discussion in the Rishonim about this topic is whether a taken cholamoy is fundamentally it's a deraisa, or fundamentally the whole issue of tzorach olamad is only a derabban.
If you hold the issue of cholamoy as far as malacha and chiyuv, why wouldn't that put him on tefillin?
If you hold that deraisa, for sure you don't put on tefillin. If you hold that on derabanan, then we can negotiate whether you put on tefillin.
Okay, so if you tell your gardener not to come, and you don't put on tefillin, then you can't. It just may mean
that you're violating his chilul chomer. That's not necessarily what you're doing is right.
What's the lumdus that since Shabbos is an os? Okay, so shall have two osos.